This is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. Our radio show is heard on Pacifica stations nationwide, and you can watch this TV program on Free Speech TV and on our website. More than 10 years ago, hundreds of activists, farmers, and even celebrities rallied together to preserve the South Central Farm near downtown Los Angeles. The unused plot of 14 acres in the midst of an industrial wasteland was farmed by hundreds of immigrant families for years after being seized by the city of Los Angeles from its original owner, Ralph Horwitz, through eminent domain. The farm was located on the corner of 41st and Alameda and became known as the largest urban farm in the United States. After a major political battle to preserve it, the South Central Farm was dramatically bulldozed in 2006. The story gained national attention, and a documentary about the farm called simply The Garden was nominated for Best Documentary at the Academy Awards. But the activists and farmers involved in the farm have not given up their dream of growing food in the middle of an industrial area in LA. The fight to revive the South Central Farm is back in full swing. And joining me to tell us all about it is Rosa Romera. She's co-president of the South Central Farmers Health and Education Fund. She's also the co-founder and current director of the Farm to Preschool Program at the Urban and Environmental Policy Institute at Occidental College and the state co lead for the National Farm to School Network. Welcome to the program, Rosa.
Thank you very much for having me.
Thanks so much for joining us. So first, for those people who've never heard of the South Central Farm, and if you live outside LA, you may not have come across the story when it became national. Give us a little bit more history than what I said. What was the farm like at its peak, in its heyday, and how was it, just briefly summarizing, how was it that the farm was lost?
Yeah, so the South Central Farm was founded right after the 1992 LA uprising. And so the community was trying to find, and the government was trying to find ways to mitigate the situation. And so there was a big piece of land across the street from the LA Food Bank that had previously, the officials wanted it to be a trash incinerator, and the community fought against that. And so they decided they wanted to turn it into a community garden. Fast forward about 15 years later, and you had 350 mostly Latino families farming this beautiful 14 acres, which is a huge piece of land. So many people are familiar with community gardens, and maybe it might be one or two garden beds. This was serious food being grown. These were 20 by 30 feet. Some of them are even larger. So people were growing food for their families, food for the neighborhood. There was a weekly farmers market that was there every Sunday. It was a very beautiful place in the middle of an industrial, low-income residential neighborhood. And so people from all over the city came there when we found out the farmers were getting evicted. And in 2006, the farmers had a call out for people to come and support the farm, to try to keep it, to try to buy it. And we had a 24-hour encampment that lasted about 8 months at the farm. And from there, about 75 people became arrested on the final day when the sheriffs did come and evict the farmers and the activists that were there. And so since then, you know, it's been 10 years since the farm has been bulldozed, but it's been in the minds of most Angelenos for a very long time. And so
You know, it's amazing, Rosa, when this started, we're talking about this having started in the 90s, at a time when this idea of community farming and urban farming was still relatively new for city dwellers, although, of course, traditionally, people, particularly from immigrant communities, have been doing this where they live for many, many generations. So this was ahead of its time. And also, I understand that a lot of the food that was grown there was food you couldn't find elsewhere. People had brought seeds from their hometowns. And it was really something, when we talk about farm to table, this was literally going from farm to the tables of people who needed it the most in a food desert, right? You don't have fresh food markets. There aren't that many health food stores in that area where the farm was.
Yeah, we're definitely it's a food desert area. There's no supermarkets nearby, much less healthy organic food. And so they were growing healthy organic food. And beyond that, they were growing, traditional medicines as well. So I know during my stay there, I learned a lot about the medicinal and the health benefits of many plants that I was unaware of, or plants that I had grown up with but not understand its roots. And so I think that the time for Los Angeles, we rallied around this urban farm idea in 2006. And I think words like environmental justice, environmental racism, food deserts, food justice, those kinds of terms weren't really being used in our LA vernacular. And now everyone's using it. Now there's gardens everywhere. We have farmers markets everywhere. And I really think that we can attribute the birth of, the environmental movement in Los Angeles to the South Central Farm. And so currently we are petitioning the current owners, which are four clothing manufacturers here in Los Angeles that want to build a warehouse and manufacturing
And actually,
for.
before you do that, Rosa, tell us what is on that land now. Does that land just remain fallow? Has it just been unused for the last 10 years?
The land is unused, and right now there's wildflowers growing there. It's been 10 years, and it's really hard to drive by and see that, the potential that it could be. And currently there's nothing there. There's no buildings, there's no farmers. Every year we have an anniversary where we come and we, pay homage to what is the farm, and so we come and gather there, but it's really heartbreaking to see these beautiful 14 acres that we remember being flourishing as this oasis in the middle of a desert that is no longer, a thriving community as it was once.
Yeah, and the scenes of the farm being bulldozed were just absolutely horrifying and dramatic. I mean, very cruel to see bulldozers come and just knock down, fruit trees, and it was just absolutely horrifying and cruel to watch. So who is the current owner of the land, and is there any sense, and actually, where's the money coming from to even buy back this land? Because it must be worth something.
The land was bought for about $16 million. The current value is probably around $22 million, because it is along the Alameda Corridor. And for people that are not familiar with that, that's where most of the goods that come in from Los Angeles and Long Beach get transported to the rest of the country. And so it's a very, highly industrial zone that's right against residential housing. And so the clothing, they're called Pima, which stands for Fork, Poetry, Impact, Miss Me, and Activewear, which are four made in LA clothing labels. And they bought the land with cash, and they wanted to build kind of their flagship distribution and manufacturing center. And so we're not against their project. I think that, Made in LA brand is very valuable. We just think it could be on another piece of land. We want to preserve this last piece of remaining undeveloped land in Los Angeles for the larger legacy of the greening of LA. And so we really are inviting them to, be willing sellers because we have the money available. People have offered pledges and then people want to see this land back. And so right now we're just trying to put pressure for the owners to sell it back to the community.
And how important is it for that land to actually be used for what it was used for? I mean, today, when we think about the state of our world, when we think about accelerating global warming, soil is a huge carbon sink, can be a huge carbon sink. Our plants, absorb excess carbon dioxide. The air is cleaner for people who live around these sort of green spaces. But if you add another manufacturing plant there, even, a clothing manufacturing plant, it's certainly not going to do anything to mitigate just the air pollution that's in that industrial area, right?
Yes, because right now, they have an EIR that just got passed by City Council, and
Environmental
it shows
impact
that there
review.
won't be, and it showed, yes, an environmental impact review that first they were trying to bypass, but because we put community pressure, we made them do one, and we are still fighting it, and most likely will be a CEQA lawsuit because they're saying that there will not be any negative effects of having an increased amount of diesel trucks in the area. And we really think that there's enough diesel trucks in the area, and enough is enough. We really want there to be green space so that we can breathe better, so that we can live better, so that we have a place to go that's a community space. And so I think that what we're trying to take a stand with this last piece of land of what we want to see for the vision of Los Angeles and for the vision of our world.
So, how is the city council leaning on this issue? There's a different, bit of a different makeup than in 2006. I know a lot of people felt that the city council sold out the South Central farmers, in particular, city council member Jan Perry, whose district it was. So, what is the political makeup there right now?
I think it was, I mean, even we had members from City Council who kept, they seem to be in support. And I think that they are trying to see if they can help, kind of get us at the table with the current owners to really talk about them becoming willing sellers. And so we do have some champions in City Council, but again, there is a kind of, this is my district, don't mess with my district, local politics issue going on. And then there is the current city council person in that area has a conflict of interest and so cannot even weigh in on this. So he was involved somehow with the original deal with Pima. And so there's always city politics everywhere you go, and we're really hoping that this city council will step up and do the right thing and try to intervene to really save this amazing green space.
So, if the group of farmers that remains involved does manage to buy this land back, what would you do with his lay with it? Lay out the vision for what you hope for these 14 acres to turn into. I mean, you basically want to bring back what was lost, or is it going to be slightly different this time around? Because that vision can, drive the point from point A to point B, from where we are now to get to where you want to be. And you can, I'm sure there's a lot of people around the country who would love to express solidarity to see this happen.
And so I think what's been important is that we really understand this is a community piece of land. And so if we do get this back, we want this land to be a land trust for the community, for the immediate citizens. And of course, we would hold, public talks, town hall meetings. What do you want this land to be for you? Because this is your community. We have our own ideas because we remember how green it was. We've now been farming at different places through a cooperative. And so we understand that there's distribution issues in the supply chain of local food that's really hard. So if you're currently a farmer who is coming far away to do a farmer's market on Monday and you have one Wednesday, where do you keep that on Tuesday? So maybe we'll have a little bit of cold storage in one area. Maybe we'll have a demonstration garden that will show people how they can garden in their backyard, their front yard, vertical garden. Maybe it's about, yes, you have a garden plot, but maybe it's about having a business plan for that garden plot. I want to grow tomatoes and ingredients for my salsa canning business. So I think that we're completely open to any kind of ideas that people have. And I think over the last 10 years, so many ideas have exploded within urban agriculture. And we really want this to be a community-led, a community-loved project. And so we are open to anything to happen to this land. And I really think that's the magic of this place, is that it is a community vision.
What about the original families that farmed on the land, the largely immigrant families for whom the farming itself was a family affair? I mean, you would see a whole, parents with their children and grandparents together working the land. What happened to them, and are they able to become involved again if the land is bought back?
Yeah, and I think that was the most important part of the farm, is that it was a family affair. Many of the children grew up at the farm. Some farmers are farming on different community garden plots throughout the city. And of course, we welcome so many farmers to, be part of that vision and come back to the farm. And I think that we can really find a way where we can build true community there again. Some farmers are part of the cooperative and have transferred their gardening skills into real hardcore farming skills and are farming on the weekends at different pieces of land. And so I think that this could be a celebration of us coming together and finding ways where we can all work together again and find a voice for everyone at the farm.
Right. And for local Southern Californians, if you go to farmers markets regularly, you'll often see a stand that has the banner South Central Farm, and I believe that's the cooperative you're talking about. There, the people under the banner of that farm have continued to grow fresh organic foods and sell them to local communities. How can people get involved right now? What sort of political action can they take? I understand there's a petition to try to, at least encourage the current owners of the land to sell to the farm.
Yes, so right now on change.org, there is a petition called Bring Back South Central Farm, of which we're asking people to please sign on, please let the city know, wherever you are in the country, we want this our city to know that this is something that everyone is looking at. The whole world is watching, and we want to know what we're going to do with this small piece of land in some people's mind, but it really is kind of the heart and the jewel of our city. And so, you know, we really encourage you, it's on change.org, it's Bring Back South Central Farm. And you can sign up, and we'll be giving you updates as this campaign continues.
We'll also post a link to that petition from our website later today. Rosa, is there any other website that you can recommend for people to look up the farm, especially if they don't know the history?
Yeah, we're currently under development, so southcentralfarm.org.
Southcentralfarm.org. I understand there's also a Facebook page, right?
Yes, there's many Facebook pages. So if you just look South Central Farmers, you'll find our Facebook page.
And we'll post a link to those websites as well. Rosa, good luck to you. Thanks so much for joining us. I hope to have you back on when the farm is inaugurated.
Oh, I'll welcome you, and we'll make some delicious food. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Rosa Romero is my guest. She's the co-president of the South Central Farmers Health and Education Fund and also the co-founder and current director of the Farm to Preschool Program at the Urban and Environmental Policy Institute at Occidental College. She's also the state co-lead for the National Farm to School Network. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. You can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, and Vimeo.